Matthew Tausch begins on Tausch's foolproof boogie board. LaFleur and Halfley getting together earlier this week to discuss why the Packers' defense last two games have been so bad in end-of-game scenarios, which really, more accurately, it's the fourth quarter. Again, the Packers, through five games, have given up 102 total points. 63 of those have been in the fourth quarter or overtime. That is a high percentage. They have been fantastic defensively in the first half of games, giving up next to bupkis. So, Tausch, if you're a fly on the wall of the little get-together between the head coach and the defensive coordinator, I don't know. Sounded to me like when Matt LaFleur told us about his conversations with Halfley, they don't have any idea why it's happening either. What say you?
I think part of it always is you have a lead. You know, the one Tesla with the great catch meant nothing. Mm-hmm. Washington, you ended up, I don't know if they ended up scoring a late garbanzo tutter.
They did,
but
yeah.
Everything else, this is, it's been an issue. And I don't know what the solution or what the, I guess the first thing you're looking for is why is it happening? Is it a mentality? Is it that, you know, you let that lead, you had the lead, and you're playing a little softer because you don't want to give up big plays? If that's the case, games one and two, I get. The Cleveland game is a wash. The defense was fine. That was all on a terrible special teams and offense. The defense couldn't have done more than what they did. The last two games, there's concern. And that's why I have pulled back on my crowning of this defense, even though I still think talent-wise it's an impressive collage and it has a chance to, I still think, be one of the top defenses in the league. But you have to start creating some turnovers. I think I would ask Halfley, are you still playing with the same aggressive nature that you did in the first half of these games? Because that, the mentality is one thing. If maybe you're feeling like the mentality is dipping, crank that side of it up. And, you know, players, they know if you call certain plays, it's let's go. There's your mundane every day. Oh, we're going to do cover two. We're going to do this. All right, great. Oh, we're going to do a blitz. Oh, we're going to do this. And that, to me, is the question I have for Jeff Halfley is what can you do to spark your group? Because you know your group is a good defense. You've seen enough evidence of that. What are the breakdowns? Is it communication or is it effort or is it the mindset that you have in that fourth quarter, because it is markedly different than what we've seen in the first half?
So do you think it's conservative thinking? Like play it safe, don't take enough risks?
I think obviously Detroit and Washington, yes. And by the way, that's just smart.
Right.
You don't need to be, again, it comes down to just find ways to win the games. But the Dallas and Cincinnati, I can't say those same things. Like that, the math on it doesn't add up.
Well, we will see when we talk to Jeff Halfley on Thursday. I was going to write this story. I decided I want to hear from Halfley before I do, so he talks on Thursday along with the other coordinators. But again, Matt LaFleur's theories, are we not in good enough condition that we're running out of gas? Maybe.
Substitution. Are you substituting and keeping it? Yeah, those are questions.
So I thought that was a good one. But beyond that, like, you know what would change the perception? A takeaway in either of those games in the second half, especially if your offense then converts it to points. Like, takeaways, you know, he made an appearance at training camp, Mike Ayers, who was like, he was basically, I don't want to call him the godfather because he's not the only one who's done this, but he was like the NFL analytics guy before analytics were cool. Like, the Packers, under Mike Sherman, hired him away from the Vikings. And he would do a presentation to you guys all the time. And, you know, the likelihood of winning a game when you have a special team score, you were like 85% likely to win the game or something through the roof, yeah, right?
Get some sunlight on your retinas. That was another one. Make sure you get some sunlight in your eyeballs. Yep.
So he would, I'm sure, tell you that a takeaway, you win the takeaway battle, you win like 90% of the time. Those were all things that even before we got DVOA and all the other stuff that he believed in and he was right about percentage-wise. It is unfathomable to me. And here we are 3 weeks later still having this conversation. The Packers still only have two takeaways. An interception by Evan Williams in the opener against Jared Goff on a pressure by Micah Parsons. And a interception by Xavier McKinney at the end of the half when, in Cleveland, Joe Flacco kind of threw a ball up for grabs. And frankly, they'd have been better off if he'd have knocked it down because they would have had the ball close to midfield, and maybe they could even got a field goal there. But he intercepted it instead. That's it. That's the list.
Well, thank God he did, or we don't have one takeaway.
Right?
Really
even the Jets have one takeaway now. So the Packers, I think, are second to last in the NFL still in takeaways. That's not great, Bob. All right, we need to play trivia. Jesse, which callers would you like for Double Wisconsin Geography Wednesday? I was thinking, you know, one starting pitcher went 8 innings, one went 9 innings, so callers 8 and 9 might work.
That would make a lot of sense. Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
It's appropriate.
Yamamoto threw 110 pitches. Caller 8 and caller 9. Caller 8 and caller 9 will play trivia. 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. But they can't play until Tausch tells us about Tito's Vodka.
I love me some Tito's Vodka. You guys know it, whether it's that spicy bloody in the morning, a little golf, you want to get a transfusion, you want to mix it with a little tonic, whatever it might be, or a little nightcap, whatever it is, it's always Tito's in your glass. That's what makes it so good. Also, Tito's gives back in a big way, partnering with nonprofits, doing real good in the communities across the country, especially for our four-legged friends. So the next time you're raising a glass, make sure it's Tito's handmade vodka with your mixer, crafted to be savored responsibly.
Trivia's next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
We'll get to trivia in a second. I did want to ask Tausch this because we're probably going to run out of time later. I'm sure you read my piece at channel3000.com this morning in preparation for the show, because that's almost as valuable as watching Get Up. I don't think it's wise to politic for Matt LaFleur to suddenly start throwing Matthew Golden 15 passes a game in his offense. But do you think it's reasonable to suggest that you could get him a little more involved than he's been? Is that reasonable, or am I being unreasonable?
Yeah, very reasonable. That's reasonable.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I feel better now. That was pretty harsh criticism.
You know what's not reasonable? I don't know if this, and I know we're getting to trivia here, but this whole thing with Detroit and that touchdown to Goff and the fact that the league told Dan Campbell one thing and it's actually something else is something that needs to get legs. The refs on the field didn't call anything. It was a touchdown. The 90-second, and I didn't watch it because I was driving back from Green Bay. But There, if that's what happened, and the league, after no flag was thrown, called over and told him to take the touchdown away. Now, allegedly, I just want to make sure I'm saying allegedly. That's what I'm seeing on Twitter.
So let me.
That is a story.
Yeah, let me do this, because I have seen snippets of this. I don't understand what happened. I wasn't watching the game either.
Yeah, we need to get educated
let me do a little research during the commercial break after trivia.
Okay.
And try and be a little more educated on this. In the meantime,
agree.
Let's play some trivia presented by Cousin Subs.
Wildy and Tausch Trivia is presented by Cousin Subs. Crispy chicken tenders are now available at Cousin Subs. Order today in-store at CousinSubs.com or with the Cousins app. Cousin Subs, we believe in better.
By the way, Matt LaFleur is at the podium at Lambeau Field, so we'll keep you updated on anything he says. Unless you're someone who enjoys press conferences, then we'll catch up with you after you come back. Let's play some trivia. Let's welcome in Jesse. This can't be right.
Oh, it is.
They're both first-time contestants?
What?
Double first-time contestant Wisconsin geography trivia. How about that?
That's amazing, and I'm excited to play. All right, let's welcome in our first-time contestants. First, it is Kay in Madison. Kay, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm excellent. How are you?
I am awesome. I love it when we have first-time contestants. And let's also welcome in Kurt in Monroe. Kurt, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am awesome. I'm so excited. All right, here we go. Jesse, did you write all these questions yourself, or did you farm them out?
I took on the full responsibility on my own, which I've been doing a lot of lately. I should probably start mixing it up and get some help back here.
Okay. All right. Kay, question number one for you is this. Known as the home of the Ringling Brothers, who founded the largest and most famous circus in the world, the International Clown Hall of Fame can be found in which of these Wisconsin cities? Is it in Baraboo, Marinette, or Dunzoville?
I would say Baraboo.
And you would be right. Well done. One for
one. I believe it started in Delavan, though. I believe they moved it.
That is correct. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
Question number one, Kurt.
You know your circus, don't you?
I did not see that coming.
Clowns are funny now. Oh, guess who's coming back to the Rose Bowl reunion this weekend? Guess who Old T's going to see at the Rose Bowl reunion?
Let's get him on the show.
On Friday.
John Palermo?
He'll be there, too.
Kabuna Bar.
He'll Barry be Alvarez? There, too. Yep.
Chilling now. Brad
Chilling now. Chilling now.
All right, Kurt, question number one for you. Not only the home of the WIAA headquarters, which Wisconsin city is also home to the United States Curling Association headquarters, and is the U.S. Curling Association's Hall of Fame location as well? Is that Stevens Point, Ashwaubenon, or Hamilton, as in Matt Hamilton, Beach?
That'd be Stevens Point.
Yes,
sir. It would be Stevens Point. I didn't know that. Learned something new today. All right, Kay, question two for you.
How did you know that? That the WIA is headquartered there? You didn't know that?
The question was about the curling world U.S. headquarters.
Are we sure McFarland isn't the curling headquarters?
Jeez. Yes, we are.
Okay.
So wait a minute. So you didn't listen to the question. Then you accused me of not knowing where the WIAA is. And then afterward, you asked, are you sure McFarland is not?
Would you like to move it to McFarland? Would you like to move it to Matt Hamilton's house?
That's literally
house?
What I
was. You should move it to
Delavan. What I was. Well, I still got circus remnants.
I think Matt Hamilton's day job before he comes in to do Jim, Matt, and Molly, he should be the meet and greet guy at the Curling Hall of Fame in McFarland.
Yes, wearing his fourth place medal from his last Olympic experience.
Dang.
All right.
It's harsh.
But fair. Question two. Okay. A latitude, Lee. Which of these Wisconsin cities is located farthest south? Farthest south. Is it Friesland, Fall River, or Fox Lake?
Fox Lake. No.
I gotta be honest, I'm not sure. I know. I remember covering some games played by Cambria Friesland.
Be careful what we talk about here. Be careful what we talk about.
I don't know any of these three locations, is what I was going to say.
That's okay.
I looked ahead. I know what I'm doing.
I'm not worried about you.
Okay. Question two, Kurt. I don't know who he could be referring to.
We don't need another...
something about cranberries and ginseng.
Yeah, another ginseng situation here.
Question two, Kurt, for you is this. A longitudinally! Which of these Wisconsin cities is located farthest east? Farthest east. You may know the choices. Friesland, Fall River, or Fox Lake.
You may know the choices.
Fox Lake.
Boom! All right. Okay, question three. Let's bounce back.
Fall River was the furthest south, if we didn't say. I forgot if we said that or not.
You're too busy being very concerned about what someone might tip us off on.
Understood, yes.
Okay. All right, question three, Kay. Which of these is the real name of a Wisconsin village located in Walworth County? Okay? A Wisconsin village located in Walworth County. Is it Sharon, Shirley, or Shelley?
Ooh, good.
Sharon.
Wow. Are you from the Walworth County area that you knew easily?
No, but I've been through there. I know where it is.
Crushing it.
Is that where they got those good pies? Is that they got a good pie shop?
I was looking for a good pie spot.
It is. It's a great little bakery, and there's a cute little lake there too.
Wow, that was impressive. I have no idea where Sharon is. All right. Kurt, here's your chance to be impressive as well.
How about Sheila? You know where Sheila's? Sheila.
Kurt, question three for you. And by the way, you're on the precipice of a clean sweep, so good luck here. Which of these is the real name of a Wisconsin town located in Dodge County? Real Wisconsin town located in Dodge County. Is it Theresa, Deborah, or Mulaney?
Oh boy!
I don't. I've got phonetic spellings here. I'm not familiar with any of these locations.
Well,
they also look like Teresa, Deborah, and Melanie.
I was going with the theme of the ladies' names in the questions here.
But that's not how any of those are said. The way you gave it to me is how they're said.
Because the correct answer...
Do you guys understand Kurt answered like 25 minutes ago, right?
Oh, yeah.
He did. He said Mulaney.
I just wanted to make sure you knew he answered.
Well, I was a little concerned about the structure of the question, in Kurt's defense.
Oh, you were concerned, huh?
Well, Teresa, Deborah, or Melanie, and then he's got all these phonetics here. It's like trying to say Edinburgh versus Edinburgh.
Theresa, the bad news, the correct answer
is Theresa. Theresa?
Theresa. Yeah.
Theresa.
Yeah. Hmm. Popular thing for those of us who have worked in Beaver Dam at our 95.3 WBEV station. You get up there, you record some copy for the big festival in Theresa. And everyone says it's in Teresa.
I haven't
had
that pleasure.
Then you get some calls, and you say, that's not how you say the name of that city. And then you, oh, sorry, I'm not familiar. And then you got to go fix it.
So it really is. It's like the Wisconsin version of Edinburgh Castle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I had to re-record those because I'm an idiot. All right. Kay, you got 2 out of 3. You're not an idiot. You're smart. You got 3 of the
Thank
possible
you.
4 entries into Friday's
Thank
drawing.
You.
Thanks for playing.
Thank you. It was fun.
Kurt, you also, although the Teresa, Deborah, Melanie question was a little sketchy in my opinion, also have 2 out of 3. That means you've also got 3 out of the possible 4 entries in Friday's drawing as well. Thanks for playing.
Thanks, guys.
That is Will Diatoush, double Wisconsin Geography Wednesday trivia. We got to get to Woe Nelly coming up, but that was trivia presented by Cousin Subs. Jesse takes over for Woe Nelly next, so stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Boy, we just don't leave much time, and that's a real shame for Woe Nelly.
Did you get any research on that Detroit Lions deal?
I have not. No, I had another thing crop up.
What was it?
I'm not going to tell you. It's personal.
Why?
Because it's time for Woe Nelly.
Share everything.
I think he went and got another cup of coffee, and I don't think he even thought twice about
muffin.
Looking into this.
Like something, I don't know what exactly. He's trying to act all. Here's a guy I can't stop from sharing everything in his world. Now all of a sudden I ask him a simple question. He's like, no, I ain't telling you.
He was eating a granola bar.
It's time for Woe Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Woe Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
Have you seen this latest gem from Jerry Jones?
No.
So the Cowboys, similar to the Packers, are 2-3-1 because of the tie on Sunday Night Football a few weeks ago. They are in contention in the NFC East because the Bears just beat the Commanders. The Eagles have dropped 2 in a row, so they're not out of it in the NFC East. Jerry Jones is well aware of that, and he was asked about anything he might be considering doing to improve the Cowboys before the trade deadline. And he said, well, and this is a quote from the ESPN article, well, if there is a trade that would help the defense, we're in possession to make that trade. If only there were a player of an all-pro caliber that wanted to remain in Dallas that they hadn't traded away at the start of the season, they might be in a position to make a run for a division title and who knows what from there.
I'm going to tell you this. Micah Parsons isn't going to turn. We've seen Dallas's defense before. What did Jordan Love throw up on him a couple years ago? A 40 burger, right?
They threw up a 40 burger a couple weeks ago. They had 48 points in that playoff game. His passer rating was perfect until it wasn't.
Yeah, this defense as they're constructed, they stink. And Micah Parsons would help them stink maybe a smidge less. It would be like a car full of rotten apples and everything else, and get like a baby air freshener, and you kind of hope, and occasionally you might get a sniff, and it might smell like an evergreen tree, but then all of a sudden you go back, and it's just, you know, worms and everything just digging at you. That's what that defense is. He would be a small air freshener in a rotted out car. I don't think that's what they're looking for. The Cowboys will not win the division because they can't stop anybody from running. Old boy that was a Cowboy came up to him and basically told him, y'all better buckle up.
Yeah, he did.
And then what they did is they got run over. I hope they buckled up. You know, nobody wants that bing, 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 bing. You put the seatbelt on, and they still got run right over. So Dallas's defense stinks. Don't care about, you know, Micah's there or not. They still would stink. They have a full-on overload that they need to do.
Whoa, Nelly!
Jason, you're doing some research on the Lions thing? Okay, well, then I got one more for you. No, I don't know if you're
what he's doing.
I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but we are experiencing a bit of a national nightmare.
What?
Spotify?
No, close, Spotify though. Deal? Closer than
it's,
you
it's
think.
It's certainly a local nightmare for us.
The NFL Scorigami Twitter handle has been having all kinds of issues with this. It's like a bot program.
AI. Oh,
and wow. Earlier this year, there was a Scorigami 41-40 in week one with the Bills and Ravens, and it never tweeted out that it was a 40, final score and a Scorigami.
Hey, 40-40 had to have been a Scorigami.
40-40 was a Scorigami, and it never shared it. And last week it said 30-19 is not a Scorigami, but it's happened zero times in NFL history. And everyone was like, what is happening? So we now have an
it's time.
What?
For Jesse to take it over?
No, it's over.
It's
done.
It's not over. The creator of the account has released an official statement meeting with Front Office Sports. He was interviewed and said that, yes, they are experiencing technical issues as the Twitter X platform has made changes on its back end trying to eliminate bots. It's impacting its ability to process correctly.
It's over. I no longer, you can't trust it. It's over.
Once you violated the Scorigami trust, it's dead?
Scorigami trust level is, it's over.
Death to Scorigami is what you're pronouncing here?
Yeah, it was a good run. We had some fun with it. I kind of got sick of it, if I'm being honest. I kind of got sick of it, but...
Playing taps. Sorry.
No, I got it. That's why I let you finish, because you're right. It's over.
I was just trying to play.
DPagami.
More of a music bed.
I think DPagami could come in and take over for it.
Yeah, you definitely love that. The 862...
You're saying death to Scorigami,
yeah,
you don't
over.
Much care for it anymore, but you want a new double play agami.
DP agami.
For baseball.
Yep. Yes, sir. Yep.
He's always looking to solve problems, even when they don't exist.
So do you no longer want me to share when there is a Scorigami if we discover that there is one? You don't care. You're
it's
out.
It's over. Nope. Use that on your Alvarez show.
Okay.
Sure, Coach would enjoy that.
I hope Coach does enjoy that. That would be fun.
He won't.
Is Coach a member of UW Credit Union? He's got to be, right?
He certainly should be. You know what? We all, for every stage of life, UW Credit Union is here for every you. Proudly serving Wisconsin for over 90 years, they're going to help you reach your financial goals. And, you know, players, students, alumni, everybody. What I love about UW Credit Union, they are out in the community doing great things, and they have great member first service. They also have Bucky. If you love Wisconsin like I do, just can't pay with anything else. Fandom will make you do crazy things. Boy, this just makes sense. Become a UW Credit Union member today. Get your Bucky card. Federally insured by NCUA, terms and conditions do apply.
I have done my requisite research on the penalty that wiped out Jared Goff's touchdown early in the game against the Kansas City Chiefs. And what Dan Campbell says of it, I will try to tell that story quickly before we run out of time. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
So Jared Goff went in motion, caught a touchdown pass on fourth and goal from the one or two from David Montgomery, and it was ruled illegal motion because he did not come to a complete stop for a second. But to that point, I would have given them a 9-0 lead plus the extra point. To that point, it does appear that there is a meeting of the officials' minds after the play happens, where they don't seem
flag,
to...
No flag, I don't believe either, right?
They did not flag it in real time. Then they are talking.
Oh, boy.
And then they throw the flag after that, and Dan Campbell believes, even though Craig Rolstad denies it, that the folks in New York informed them that it should be a penalty, which again...
Let's have a trial. Let's do this on air. Let's have an on-air trial with these guys. That'd be fun. Put them on
the
record.
Dream team.
Do this whole deal, and let's be honest about it, because I don't want a world where the league can start calling in penalty and throw a flag after. I don't want that world.
I'm Team Dan Campbell on this one, if that's true. All right, that's it for
that
us today.
That can't be true. Tell me it ain't true,
if it
Sammy.
Is, you're very concerned, as right and rightfully so. We will do this again tomorrow and get ready for Game 3, which is truly... I mean, I guess it's not a must-win. They could go down 3-0 and then win 4 in a row. But we'll prepare you for that game tomorrow. Thanks for coming along for the ride with us today. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full-show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.